Welcome to Blabbling, a twice-monthly discussion of local, environmental, and social justice issues hosted by EcoRI News. Today we're talking about farmers markets. They're one of the oldest forms of commerce known to humans. Now, thanks to the local farm movement and the local food movement, they're back and booming across the country and across Rhode Island. Are there growing pains? Are there enough markets or too many? And is everyone benefiting from this lone bright spot in the economy? With us today are Sarah Lester, Markets Coordinator for Farm Fresh Rhode Island. Hello, Sarah.
Hi.
And as I should say, that Farm Fresh Rhode Island is a nonprofit that's focused on the local food system, right, Sarah?
Yes, correct. Okay.
And Bevan Lindsley, she's the market manager for Quidnic and Coastal Growers Market. Welcome, both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm just going to jump into the questions here. I think one of the things that we all know in Rhode Island, and every Rhode Islander probably knows, is that there's been huge growth across the state and in the country, a lot of growth of farmers markets. Rhode Island is up to 55 markets. Some are open all year. Sarah, why don't maybe you tell me why you think there is so much growth right now in farmers markets? What do you attribute it to?
I attribute it a lot to the interest of the public and just consumer demand for local produce and understanding the benefits to buying local. But I think that the growth has been pretty steady. Over the past couple of years, definitely seen a huge growth, you know, in the past 10 or 15 years or so around farmers markets. But we definitely see a couple markets joining every year, but I think it's at a good pace. And a statistic that I've heard, and I believe it's that Rhode Island is either second or third in direct sales from farmer to consumer in the country, is also kind of shows how popular farmers markets are as a place to purchase local and get to know your farmer.
And your markets, Bevan, some of them are a little more, I think, as far as Rhode Island goes, a little more rural maybe.
Yes.
Right? Do you think those are some of the same reasons why your markets are growing and very popular?
Well, I agree with everything that Sarah said. I would add two components. I think that after the banking crisis, people felt a sense of anger and frustration about where their money was going. And I think that the desire to support the local economy is in part because that seems like the antidote to sending our money away to faceless people who spend it unwisely. And the other part of the picture, I think, is this sort of the hidden part of the success of farmers markets is that people find a sense of community there. It's not just about the food. It's about knowing your neighbors and having a place to hang out on Saturday morning or Wednesday afternoon and do what we used to do hundreds of years ago when we went shopping.
Right. The concept's nothing new, right? I mean, it's been around a long, long time.
Right.
And there's a lot, and I've seen over the years, in just recent years, there's been a lot going on at the markets, just besides, you know, selling fruits and vegetables. What are some of the things that people can find now at markets? Maybe they didn't see a few years ago, Sarah.
I think that our winter farmers market in Pawtucket is probably a great example of growth of farmers markets, because now we're up to approximately 55 or 60 vendors. This is the Pawtucket wintertime market that runs actually this coming Saturday, May 11th, is the last winter market. But
ours too.
So those vendors are really, you know, from fruits and vegetables. It's grown into a lot of prepared food that also incorporates local ingredients, and there's live music. And often when we had a Wednesday evening market for a few months in the beginning of the season, we would kind of partner with community groups and try to, again, as Bevan was saying, like appeal to the community aspect of markets and, you know, have a local wine and beer tasting, or have new urban farmers come in and discuss pickling and fermenting. And so really just trying to broaden our focus and include more community partners at the market. So I think it's been really positive. And that's just one example.
And I think, Bevan, you have like a tomato festival too. Is that one of them that you can talk about?
Yeah, but I have to call it the tomato festival.
Tomato, right.
Yeah. That's an interesting event. It was started before I was involved in the market as a way to get people into a new market. And there was that year there was a surplus of heirloom tomatoes being grown by are farmers. So they thought, well, we'll put them out and let people taste the difference, not only between a store-bought tomato, but also different kinds of heirloom tomatoes. So it's turned into this fairly substantial event in late August, and we have twice as many people. So we have about 2,400, 2,500 people come through our little tiny historic farm on a Saturday morning in 3 hours.
Well, one of the, I think, the points that was raised at, there was a conference recently that the both of you were kind of facilitating at the Department of Environmental Management. One of the issues raised up was that, was brought up, was that, you know, has it reached a saturation point or maybe a ceiling? Are there enough farmers to be able to supply all the demand that, that people are looking for?
I think I've been thinking about this actually. It came up at the conference, and it's that's a question that we're addressing all the time, because the more established markets are not accepting new vendors quite often. So somebody, one of the many young people who's looking at making their livelihood through farming, quite often can't get into one of the established markets. So their choice is therefore to go start one of their own. But I think that farmers markets initially began because it was a way for farmers to increase their income by selling directly to the public and cutting out that slice that the middle person takes. And back 10 years ago, you could perhaps, as a farmer, sell at 3 farmers markets a week and make the same kind of income that you now have to do 6 or 7 markets at, because the customer base is spread out so much with so many markets. So I think that the solution is for us to figure out how to pull in more customers, how to reach the people who are not already in love with what happens at a market.
Yeah, and I would say that over the past 3 years or so, that or 2.5 years that I've been working with FarmFresh, I'm often working on our website, which is farmfresh.org, and listing all the farmers markets in the state. So I've really seen the ones that have kind of come about and the ones that are falling off, because a couple of markets are actually, they do close every year. There are a few that haven't found success in their particular location. Mm-hmm. There's many factors to a successful market. But so I do think it is maintaining an equilibrium that's definitely connected to farmers. And I have found with some of our markets that we manage that there don't seem to be enough farmers, specifically fruit orchards. The one thing I wanted to touch upon, too, is that there's the access question, the access to fresh fruits and vegetables, which is something that we think about a lot at FarmFresh. And I think that the need is still great in the state. And there's areas where potentially there's still not a lot of access to fresh fruits and vegetables. So I think that there's definitely room for new markets to be placed specifically in those lower income neighborhoods where, you know, a market could be able to accept SNAP. I mean, we have so much money going into the state through SNAP, and we could be capturing more of it at farmers markets.
And explain SNAP.
So SNAP is a federal benefit that is provided to lower income families. It stands for Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, and families or individuals receive them monthly. And many markets in the state, I believe last year was about 17, were able to accept SNAP at their markets. And this summer, we're going to see probably an increase of about 10 markets, maybe more, that can accept.
Well, it's an important program. Mm-hmm. I think that an important growth element to farmers markets. It sounds like
especially
you're both saying.
In the urban areas.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We had some funding, actually, through the USDA. They gave us funding to try to help that program to purchase the terminals, the wireless terminals at markets. So I've been working with many market managers to try to get them set up with a free terminal to hopefully boost their infrastructure to kind of accept SNAP debit and credit, which really does see it, I think, a increase in sales at a market when you're able to accept all those cards at your market. So,
I'm sorry, go ahead, Ben.
Well, I just wanted to go back to your original question about whether or not markets have reached capacity. And so I think there's a very different answer for the winter market situation, which is in which there is a great deal of room for growth, because it's hard to keep growing vegetables throughout the winter. And the federal grants for hoop houses have really helped. But for small farmers who don't have a lot of capital to invest, they can't just go out and hire 20 people and increase their production and put up 3 hoop houses. It's a sort of incremental growth. And so there's really a lot of room in the winter markets for vegetables throughout the year. If I was a young farmer, that's what I'd go figure out how to do. That's why we see people, we have this big crush of people at both the winter markets I'm responsible for right at opening.
Why don't you tell us where those are?
There's a new winter market, I should call it an indoor market, on Aquidneck Island in Portsmouth. So that market opened in November of this year. And then there's been an indoor market in North Kingstown. This is the end of our fourth season. So in both places, we have this crowd of dedicated shoppers. And I was thinking about this the other day. There are some people that if I don't see them on a Saturday morning at the market, I worry that something's happened to them because they're so regular and they'll tell me if they're going out of town. Anyway, so people come early because there's a limited amount of greens in particular, and if they get there late, they'll be gone.
Yeah, right. You should have seen the asparagus fly off the stands this past weekend.
So as we're heading into, it sounds like we're transitioning from the indoor to the outdoor markets right now. What maybe are some of the things that shoppers are look forward to this year as we head into kind of the whole outdoor market time? Sarah, any new markets or new things happening at the markets?
I definitely have a grasp on that. Just give me 1 second. So there is going to be a new farmer's market on the east side called the Providence Alternative Market, which will be on North Main Street, not too far from the Hope Street Farmer's Market, also on Saturdays. There is going to be, I mean, Bevan actually has some information about some of the newer markets in the southern part of the state.
I heard about a new market that is hopefully opening in West Greenwich in the fall, where the town is building a pavilion to, I think it's largely for farmers market, but it'll be available for community use.
The Northwest Farmers Market is a relatively new market started by a farmer from Absalona Greenhouses.
Where is that?
It's in Chepachet, I believe. It's at Peterson Farm. It's a really lovely location.
Yeah, I haven't been there, but I hear it's a beautiful place. Mm-hmm. That's Sundays, right?
Sundays, yep. Yeah. You can definitely look up the full list on our website.
What's the website?
It's farmfresh.org, and you can search markets and farms by zip code all across the state, or even by food items. So if you are looking to find a market or a farmer that had asparagus, you could actually look up specifically the food item, which is neat.
Okay. I wanted to add something about one of the things that happens at markets, which I find exciting. Not only are we incubating farmers, but we're also incubating businesses. And I've now seen a few startup businesses that begin at a market. This year we have a wonderful group of people who are making juices, assuming that they finally get the blessing of the health department for their operation. But they'll be juicing fresh local fruits and wheatgrass, things like that, at the market. And so there's quite often you see somebody who starts doing something on a Saturday morning or whenever at a market, and then as they establish themselves, the business grows from there. Mm-hmm. And then they leave us and go on to do something else, and somebody comes to take their place.
Right. Mm-hmm. Dan, you mentioned oversight. I mean, are you seeing that some of the rules are changing, maybe coming from the Department of Health or the Department of Environmental Management, where are either new rules or trying to enforce older rules?
I think what's happening is that because farmers markets have become so successful that we've hit the radar screen recently.
An economic force, if you will.
Right. There you are.
For the local agricultural community.
Right, right. So the Department of Health is just wanting to support the health concerns, that aspect of what we do, and so they're working with us to make sure that everything is prepared.
Mm-hmm. And those concerns, I'd say, were the impetus kind of for we had this conference that we were mentioning for farmers market managers, the first time we gathered, or most of the managers from across the state together, to kind of start to discuss these things as a group, because we are becoming a larger force in Rhode Island.
The other thing that we're going to do, which actually this ties in nicely to, is to try and come up with some sort of message that we all use when we're marketing the opening of the summer market season, to explain to people all of the many reasons why they would want to shop at a farmer's market. And not preaching to the choir, but reaching out to new people who might be shopping by price and still don't understand the reasons why some things at farmer's market will cost more than they do at a grocery store, to talk about the elephant in the room in the conversation.
And what do you say to the people who might bring up that objection?
I've got a list.
There you go. Well, dig right
well just
in.
Something, that, and I want you to get to your list, but something that we try to do often is actually come up with a price comparison and do a little bit of research, market research, and go to Stop and Shop and Price Right and our markets. And it definitely depends on the season and what is in season, because that will be at the kind of the least expensive end. But providing that comparison for some of our customers, because they will find that, you know, yes, sometimes it's a little bit more expensive, but it's pretty comparable at some of the items across the board, depending on the season.
I think the important part is for us to look at the hidden costs of the food in the grocery store. And if you think about things that are grown locally, first of all, they're fresher, so they last longer in the refrigerator. They quite often taste better because they haven't sat in a truck for days. They also haven't contributed to environmental pollution, and they also have a higher nutritional value because they're not old.
Or sprayed with chemicals that keep them when they're traveling across the country.
It's a big list. I don't want to get too...
But the one thing, too, is that's why with all of the markets that we manage through Farm Fresh, and hopefully a couple of additional markets this summer that accept SNAP, we have a program called Bonus Bucks. So when a customer is using SNAP at one of our markets, for every $5, they get $2 for free. So it's really extending their dollar to maybe potentially, you know, help offset some of the costs that are involved with purchasing local food.
You guys know who Michael Pollan is, my articulate food hero. The latest thing that he's pointing out is that cooking is the most important part of our food system, and that it is always better for us to be cooking our own food for so many reasons beyond just health. You know, it's good for kids to sit at the dinner table with their family. But that it's always better for us to eat food we've made ourselves than food a corporation has cooked for us.
Well, and at the farmer's market, the farmer or somebody who works on the farm is usually selling it to you and telling you what's a good way to prepare it and what are some good things to make.
And how they grew it.
Right, and how they grew it.
So sometimes and people worry about organic designation, and I think that's part of why this whole Know Your Farmer movement happened, because sometimes a farmer will be growing organically but won't be doing the paperwork to achieve that designation. And when you can go to the market and ask somebody how they grew, where they grew, what they feed their chickens, then you're invested in the food that you eat and the community that it came from.
And you get a lot of free samples, too, so that's always
yes.
a big plus that I like. And we were saying one of the things that is new also this year is, I think, probably more seafood and different types of seafood events, right,
sure.
Sarah?
Yeah, no, we're seeing definitely an abundance, or more seafood vendors at our markets selling local fish and all sorts of things, which is really exciting because we're the ocean state. But there is an event called the Seafood Throwdown that we're hosting on May 30th, a Thursday evening, where two local chefs will compete using a mystery fish item, local fish, and there'll be samples and kind of a big competition, and it'll be very exciting, and there may even potentially be a second one for the opening of a market in Newport. So just kind of stay tuned to learn about that as it unfolds.
Okay, well, there's two markets on Aquidneck Island that open the first week in June, Saturdays at Newport Vineyards in Middletown, and Wednesdays at on the Boulevard in Newport. And Coastal Market at beautiful Casey Farm opens the Saturday after next, the 18th. Yeah. So we got to go. We got work to do.
We got to get going. Yeah. Right. Well, if you can't get to those markets, I mean, there's markets from Block Island all the way up to Northern Rhode Island. So
55 opportunities.
They're all over the place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Great. Well, thank you. And good luck this summer.
Thank you. It was fun. Thanks. Yeah.